Welcome to the Millpool to Pennyland walking route.
Welcome to the Millpool to Westloo walk. The walk starts at the town end of the Millpool car park and is very suitable for those with mobility problems, as it's almost entirely on the flat. The Millpool itself once covered over 14 acres until filled in to make a car park in the early 1960s. The pool is the reminder that there once was a tide mill here. The first tide mill here was completed in 1621 and had a set of four water wheels which ran when the tide was out. The water then powered them was impounded in a 13-acre pool at high tide. The mill was last used in the late 19th century for grinding bone meal. This still remains, and the pedalos can be enjoyed in the summer months. If you look north, you will see the confluence of the East and Westloo rivers at Trenant Point. Up the Westloo River, in the distance, is Kilmarnock Woods, a designated nature reserve, with delightful woodland walks along signposted paths to Watergate, the location for many a picnic near the river. Kilmarnock Woods is often described by some as a little-known gem, by others the lungs of Loo, or part of the UK's equivalent of the rainforest. Kilmarnock Woods is owned by Cornwall Council and classified as ancient woodland. It is part of a county wildlife site and is an area of special landscape value. It is also a featured site in the BBC's Breathing Places project. A community group called the Friends of Kilmarnock Woods was formed and constituted in 2006 as a result of the Wild Space project. Its aims are to educate, promote and protect this beautiful green area of Loo.
My name's Derek Spooner. I live in East Loo. I've lived there for about 10 years. I'm retired and I'm particularly involved in a range of local conservation activities in the Loo area. I'm particularly interested in wildlife and I spend a lot of my time in the pursuit of wildlife in the local area. I'm particularly concerned with the Friends of Kilmarnock Woods. Kilmarnock Woods is a lovely area of oak woods alongside the Westloo River. It starts at the far end of the Millpool car park from Loo, stretches for about a mile and a half inland alongside the tidal river. On the other side of the river is Trenant Woods, which is very similar but a bit less accessible. Both of these woodlands are oak woods, ancient oak woods, which have been managed by man in the past, but they are probably at least 400 years old. The chief species of tree is the sessile oak. There are also beech, sycamore, sweet chestnut, and so on. The river itself is a great place to watch wildlife. The principal attraction to me as a bird watcher is the colony of herons and egrets. These can be seen from the Millpool car park, just where you might park when you're visiting Loo. There are breeding herons and egrets just across the river there, and you see them also wading in the river, fishing, looking for food at all times of year. They're not the only birds you can see. They're probably the most spectacular. They're the biggest, and the egrets have only been there about 10 or 15 years. But you might also, if you're lucky, see kingfishers. There are plenty, of course, of gulls, herring gulls, and great blackback gulls, which nest on Loo Island. In winter, you might see wading birds. There are curlew, there are redshank, there are oyster catchers. There's a whole range of species, and they can be easily seen from the woods themselves or just along the edge of the car park as you walk down into the town. Other things you might look for in the spring, Kilmarnock is great for bluebells, wood anemones, other flowers. In summer, lots of butterflies. particularly down by the river around the old boatyard, silver wash fritillaries, red admirals, peacocks, lots of other butterflies in the sunshine. And then there are the animals, which you won't see so easily, but you can see signs of them. There are obviously squirrels, foxes, roe deer, badger, and most special of all, we know that there are dormice in these woods. You won't see them, they're nocturnal and they hibernate in winter, but they're an endangered species and are perhaps an indication of why Coolmore North Woods is very important for wildlife.
At the other end of the car park is a public slipway where boats can be launched at 2 hours either side of high water. Lou Boat Owners Association worked for 18 months to get the concrete slip extended. John Eckersall talks about the work of Lou Boat Owners Association and the attractions of the river and harbour for small boat owners.
My name is John Eckersall. I am the chairman of the Lou Boat Owners Association, formed in 2002 by a group of five or six local boat owners, and it was basically to promote private boat owning in the harbour and Lou Bay and in the Eastern Lou Rivers. Now, today we are going to be looking at that part of the river which is basically used primarily for leisure boating, and that is from the Millpool Slipway out to sea, and we tend to use the coast up as far as possibly Whitsand Bay and to the west down towards Foy and Goran Haven. Lou is on the confluence of the two rivers, East and West Lou Rivers. Both are navigable for about 3 to 4 miles up, about 2 hours either side of high water. The West Lou River is very interesting because that really goes into the hinterland of southeast Cornwall. Each year we produce an events calendar. We tend to try and get at least one event of some sort every 2 weeks. In the winter, of course, boating will have to be restricted because boats are out of the water. So we then tend to have onshore activities in Lou Sailing Club. The Raft Race, which is an annual event, normally takes place in July. The route normally is from East Lou Beach up through the harbour, turning at Lou Bridge and returning back. And normally the finishing line is off the RNI Slipway. This is a really fun event. It's open to all ages, from the young children on small rafts to some of the adult speed rafts. Everyone tends to be in fancy dress, a lot of water activity, a lot of people in the water, a lot of rafts breaking up. It's a real fun day, and it really is. The one thing to come and see in Lou in July is our annual raft race. There's also the River Cricket Match, and this is a game between the Lou boat owners and a team representing the RNLI, played at low water on the riverbed in the vicinity of the RNLI lifeboat station. As regarding to people visiting Lou with boats, we recently refurbished the Millpool Slipway to make this a much more accessible entrance point into the river. The launching is free, and it's a safe access point to take really boats up to maybe 20, 25 feet in length and launch there by trailer with safety. Following on this, we realised that visiting boats into Lou had a problem with taking fuel. We only have one fueling point in Lou, and that is the Riverside Garage situated in East Lou. There was a ladder there which was extremely dangerous, so we then looked at funding, and recently we have just completed a new set of steps leading into the river which is safe access for taking fuel. Also, this can be used as a casualty landing point in the cases of an emergency. So the emergency services have also welcomed this as an added benefit to Lou Harbour. Those two projects are the two projects we've completed in the 10 years we've been running. Lou Sailing Club was constituted in 1934. Their traditional boat that was designed for Lou is the 14-foot Red Wing class, designed by Arthur Fox, I think in about 1934. And this boat has been sailed continuously in Lou since then until the present day. And without exception, I think I'm correct in saying all the Red Wings are locally built in Loo. And in fact, we have a boat just been completed, another Red Wing, which I think takes the annual number built in Loo to 250. Other classes of boats sailing in Loo at the moment are Enterprises, mirror dinghies for the children, and one of the surfboard type of boats. Visitors in the summer, it's worth coming down on the seafront on a Thursday evening about 6 o'clock and a Saturday about 2 o'clock when all the boats will be rigging up for their weekly sailing competitions. And a good vantage point if you want to actually watch the sailing in Loo Bay is really to go onto West Loo to Halliford Point, which you get a lovely view over Loo Bay and the sailing. And normally the finishing line is situated off Halliford.
From the car park, make your way past the chandlery and the boatyard. The old mill is in front of you. Here's a good place to pause the recording whilst you make your way there.
We're making money with this sound. Rattle them winches all. Soon we'll all be homeward bound. Rattle them winches all.
So you've made your way from the car park, past the chandlery and the boatyard. The old mill is currently in front of you. So the Pern family has operated a boatyard here over three generations for over 75 years, with current owner Alistair Pern at the helm. Just past the old mill gift shop, turn left towards the river and take the riverside walk under Loo Bridge. Although now housing an amusement arcade, this building has had a colourful history. The seats under the bridge give a fantastic vista of the river estuary with the main river channel on the east side of the river and are an excellent point to capture a photographic memory of Loo.
Hello, my name's Mark Camp. I'm a local historian, and I'm going to take you along the quayside towards the heart of West Loo. Passing under the bridge, we soon come to a memorial stone laid by the steps going down into the river. This was put here in 1931 by Prince George, the Duke of Kent. He would later die during World War II in a flying boat accident off Scotland, along with a local lad from here in Loo who was part of the crew. Just opposite is the old bridge house, now a bed and breakfast. The hill that goes down beside it is known locally as Bass Hill, and as kids going up there to the old school, as boys we walked up the left-hand side and girls up the right-hand side. From here you'll see a plaque in the wall which says the bridge was repaired, and this is where the old bridge went across the river. Built originally in the 1400s, it had 14 or 13 arches, depending on which books you read, and in the middle a chapel dedicated to St. Anne. The Harbour Moon pub used to be the St. Anne's tea shop. And then, as we go along the quayside, and the pavement here is very narrow, so please be careful, we'll soon come to the Riverside Church. This, the nonconformist church for Loo these days, is still very much used, and you can come here at any time to worship and join in the singing. The large hotel you'll pass here, called the Port by Anne, takes its name from one of the original names for West Loo, roughly translated as little port or little harbour. Now keep near the water's edge as you pass the slipway and carry on along to where the ferry boats ply their trade going across the river. Here there's a little shed which has always been used by the local fishermen, the old retired fishermen, to yap and yarn about what's going on out at sea and what's going on the river. You may even find some there today. You now find yourself at ferry steps. Here the ferries cross the river, taking people over for about 40p these days. Traditionally, the job of a ferryman falls on the older fishermen of the town who've retired from going out to sea. And their small 18-foot boats have crossed the river backwards and forwards for many, many years.
As you walk along the West Loo Quay, you can see the fish market over the river in East Loo, where the day's catch is landed daily and auctioned every morning before being exported to the world as the finest day-caught fish.
Loo's marine and coastal life is amongst the most diverse and best in Cornwall. The reefs at Hannafore Point, sheltered from the prevailing weather, are covered in many different types of seaweeds, which provide shelter for an abundance of crabs, anemones, urchins, and other incredible invertebrates. Along the riverbanks of the East and West Loo rivers, you may catch a glimpse of the elusive otter, or see a variety of wading birds, as well as a breeding group of herons, little egrets, and the charismatic kingfishers. This incredible diversity of plants and animals was recognised in 1995 by the establishment of the Voluntary Marine Conservation Area, or VMCA for short, to help protect this special area of coastal and marine wildlife. The Loo VMCA embraces nearly 5 kilometres of coastline from the Horestone to the west of Port Nadler to the Limericks in Loo Bay. This also includes the East and West Loo rivers to their tidal limits. The VMCA is an area where there is opportunity to enhance marine conservation, community pride of place, perception of the environment, and to promote sustainable uses of our resources. Abby Crosby is an educational officer with the Cornwall Wildlife Trust.
Hi, I'm Abby Crosby. I'm the Marine Conservation Officer for Cornwall Wildlife Trust. Cornwall Wildlife Trust is the county's leading organisation in protecting Cornwall's wild spaces and wild animals. Just as you come round into the estuary mouth, you start to see the rocky shore that, of course, the beautiful statue of Nelson sits on. And on that rocky shore, you have seaweeds covering them. You have crabs crawling in amongst the rock pools. And as the tide goes out, it obviously starts to expose the beautiful muddy banks.
And there's Nelson the seal. Just explain about Nelson.
Nelson is a kind of historic, you could say, seal in Loo. It was a regular visitor to the harbour, possibly fed by some of the day tripping boats, you know, with their day mackerel catches. And it became, you know, he became an icon really for the town that is so quite famous now for its beautiful Atlantic grey seals, which are an internationally rare species, and yet Loo has these wonderful species visiting their shores.
And there's a statue of Nelson now.
Yeah, so I love the fact that the town recognised this great creature, and in respect to him, they put up this wonderful bronze statue of Nelson. So people can actually get up close to the statue, they can look at it, they can feel it and touch it. It's, yeah, really tactile and really beautiful.
Is it good for doing rock pools around this area?
You know, having experienced rock pooling in the whole of the county, Loo has got, you know, some of the best rock pooling spots in, you know, in Cornwall. And the river, just as much as any areas of rocky shores around the mouth of the estuary, yeah, the river does offer just as good rock pooling as anywhere else.
There should be watching out for any dangers here?
Well, of course, you've got to be really aware of the tide. Particularly, the river is a kind of 95% flushing estuary, which means that when the tide comes in, yes, it looks like a proper river system. When the tide goes out, it exposes the muddy banks and leaves only a stream down the centre of the river. So people have to be really aware of that. Always look at the tides, always see what's happening with the water, and make sure you don't get cut off.
And that mud's great for habitats, though.
Gosh, yeah, all estuary habitats are really important. The Loo River is a beautiful, healthy estuary. And as the tide goes out, the mud banks are exposed. Within that mud, you've got all the slimy creatures like the ragworms, the lugworms. You've got lots of bivalves like the peppery furrow shell and the cockle. And that is the food source for all the brilliant birds that come and visit. And Loo has some excellent birders that live around the river and monitor those birds, both residential. They've got nesting herons and egrets up the river, and then the migratory birds like the whimbrels and the curlews.
Okay, so how can we spot the egrets?
Egrets quite easy because they start nesting very early spring when the trees haven't really developed all of their foliage yet. So you can go up, walk up the Westloo River and look out across, even from Millpool, the edge of Millpool Car Park, and you can see the nesting heronry really clearly in the trees and the egrets just further up. And then you see them when the tide is out and the mud banks are exposed. These birds come down onto the riverbank and they'll pick around in the mud looking for food.
So we've come up to Hannafore, and there's a lovely stretch of, well, it's not just beach, it's rock pools, all sorts of stuff here. But there's also another beach, isn't there?
Well, in Loo, you've got a couple of different beaches. You've got, if you look out to your left, to the east, you'll see the town beach, and that's obviously very popular with visitors to the town. In the summer, it is cleaned, but in the winter, it's left, and the seaweed forms a spectacular habitat for a whole array, a plethora of creatures, from tiny slimy maggots all the way up to small mammals and bats and other birds that will come and feed on that strand line. But where we are now, Hannafore, as you say, stretches out to the west, and this is a much more rugged, natural place. Still lovely little spots of exposed beachy, pebbly areas to sit on, but that rocky reef that creeps down into the sea is, I think this is the highlight of the rock pooling.
So what sort of creatures can we find in these rock pools?
Well, if you're going to start, you start at the base of your food chain. You've got the wonderful seaweeds. You've got some really beautiful red seaweeds and brown seaweeds and green seaweeds. And that obviously forms a food, the base of the food chain for other creatures, like lots of different mollusks, which are the sea snails, periwinkles, the predator dogwhelk. And then you've got beautiful anemones like the strawberry anemone, which looks like a strawberry on its column because it's got little pips over the red column. And we've got lots of exciting fish like the worm pipefish, which is related to the seahorse. So you'll find that in amongst the seaweed on the lower shore. Under the boulders, you're going to find cushion starfish. If you're lucky, you may find the egg case of a shark called the cat shark, which attaches itself on the lower shore to bits of seaweeds and rocks. And that's really exciting. And Loo Bay does have brilliant egg cases out there. And if you're really, really lucky, which I have been in the past, in the sandy gullies between the rocky reef, you do find scallops occasionally, which is very exciting.
So is any of the stuff edible? You mentioned the scallops, but I mean, what about the seaweeds?
Some seaweeds are, you know, some are obviously quite leathery and tough like the brown seaweeds, but there are seaweeds that are edible, and a lot of things on the rocky shore are foraged. You've got to be very aware that you've got to take sensibly. If everyone were to forage, then that could be a problem because you can't manage it, but everyone taking the odd thing here and there for personal consumption is, I think, quite fun and something to do every so often.
Okay, so we've got these rock pools, and it stretches as a reef out into the sea towards Loo Island. Mm. I mean, was this all one bit of land which got eroded away once?
Well, yes. I mean, I'm no geologist, but many thousands of years ago, they think that it was connected to the mainland. And you can see on extreme low spring tides, which you get sort of during the spring and autumn equinoxes, you can see that there is a sort of higher channel compared to the rest of the surrounding area, which would suggest a sort of space that would have been above sea level. It would have been connected obviously to the land, but now it is cut off, you know, it is cut off from the mainland, and quite surprisingly so. You do find with a good easterly or even southeasterly, it can cause too much chop to actually land on the island itself. Loo Island is surrounded by rocky reefs, although there's that little bit of beach exposed. It is mainly rocky reefs, so it is actually quite difficult to land a boat there safely.
So this is actually part of your empire, really, this island, isn't it?
Yeah, Loo Island is a really special place for us as a marine conservation officer. It's our only marine nature reserve, true nature reserve. It was passed over to the trust back in 2000 when we took over the management with the sister Babs at the time. And it is just such a special place. Thanks to those two sisters who appreciated natural beauty, who appreciated wild places and kept it the way it was. It is now just spectacular.
So if we take a boat across there, mm-hmm. which you can do at certain times, mm-hmm. What are we going to see?
Well, so you can take a boat over there between spring and autumn, and it runs obviously with the high tide. As we said already, Loo is a flushing estuary. You can only get the boat out either side of the high tide. And when you land on the island initially, you do see this wonderful sandy shingly beach with great coastal maritime plants. You walk up on the island, you follow the path. It is a really important place for nesting seabirds. It's the second largest place for blackback gulls, nesting blackback gulls in Cornwall, which is really special. Also shags, cormorants, fulmars. you can see our Hebridean sheep that we have over there grazing the land to ensure that we open up spaces for wildflowers and meadows. We have beautiful vegetable patch. Obviously, Wildlife Trust is all about being as sustainable as possible, and the islanders grow enough food and vegetables for themselves, fruit and veg.
So you have some people living over there?
Yeah, we do. We have our island residents, Gus and Sheila. They've lived there for many years now, over a decade, and they looked after Babs, the final sister to live there. We have our wardens, Claire and John, and they're there seasonally, from spring through to the early winter, managing the island, looking after the sheep, welcoming visitors. You know, we really do welcome day trippers over. We even have wild camping over there in our teepee, so we do have people can go over and spend the night on Loo Island several times a year. So yeah, there's a lot going on.
So we've walked along a bit further here now, looking out to sea. I mean, yes, you see the odd seagull, but what about trained eyes? What will they see?
Well, you'll see lots of different things. I mean, only recently we had a pod bottlenose dolphin, which are the sort of flipper type dolphin that people know from the television programme. They are an inshore species, and they move along our coast around Cornwall feeding on the shallower waters. They're big grey dolphins, and you'll see those off the shore. You might see basking sharks in the spring and summer months when the plankton's blooming. Porpoises are quite common in the area, which are much smaller cetacean related to the dolphins, with a very small black triangular fin that might appear out of the water suddenly. Lots of other different seabirds, as you say, the gull species, like the herring gull, the blackback gulls, the fulmars. You know, it's just beautiful walking on the coast, looking out to sea. Keep your eyes peeled, because you never know what you're going to see.
And what if you took a dive boat out? What sort of things would you see beneath the water? Mm.
Loo Bay is really special because of this rocky reef habitat. That's superb for animals and plants to colonise. So even up to 30 metres down, you get the sea fans, pink sea fans. They're a nationally rare species. They are kind of coral type animal. And you get those reefs offshore. You get jewel anemones, which are iridescent, bright, luminous blues and greens and yellows, covering rock faces. You get weird sea slugs. You get all types of wonderful creatures. On the sandy shores, I mean, the bay's really rich for flatfish and scallops and, you know, animals that like that sandy bed habitat. So it's a really good place to dive. Yeah, really special. So Loo is a really special place for its marine wildlife, like the rocky shore. And because of that, it was designated a voluntary marine conservation area. Cornwall Wildlife Trust supported that voluntary marine conservation area for the past 5 years and have established an independent marine conservation group here. So it's all about looking after the area, protecting the area, and encouraging people to do so also. So, for instance, when they come down to the rocky shore and look at all these brilliant animals and plants, it's really important they do so sensibly and carefully, and they look after the shore that they're on. It's called the Seashore Code. Lots of people have heard of it, and it's just basically about putting everything back where you find it, treating animals and plants with respect, and making sure you don't leave any litter behind. Ultimately, enjoying the area, exploring, discovering, and really having a fantastic time, but protecting the environment as you do so and leaving it as you find it.
So we finished the Millpool to West Loo walking tour. If you wish to find some other tours around the Loo area, look on the website.